Hey, we're supposed to sing through the Zimra.
Verses themselves.
I'm speaking to myself. I don't know why I mutter through it, even though I know the truth is I need to sing it. I need to really sing it to be connected to my soul and be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that's it. It's the key. But, you know, before all we the fancy schmancy intellectual stuff, just it's meant to be sung. It's verses of song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we should just sing it. So, if that is Rosh Hashanah's introduction, let's look at the source sheet, part Sukkotism. Okay. There we go. Oh, you got it. Okay. All right, Kenny, read for me. Well, you do Aleph, I'll do Bet. This is in the Shulchan Aruch when he's talking about the laws of Sukkotism. Yivshar.
Yivshar has mirrored.
Or Ein Omrim, I'm sorry, Ein Omrim.
Ein Omrim has mirrored b'merutze ki'im banachat.
Oh, so what pace are we supposed to say the songs of Sukkot Zimra? Slow, chill.
Benachat,
no rush.
Absolutely.
So it's an explicit Shulchan Aruch.
Can you translate this literally?
Ein Omrim has mirrored b'merutze, like rats, like running.
Benarutza.
Like a marathon. Rather, benachat, slow, chill.
Okay.
So that's.
I signed up for a marathon.
Awesome, me too. I didn't sign up, but I'm going to do it.
The full?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Probably half or 10K, I'm not sure. And I've never done it before, but.
You're just going to do whatever you do? You're just going to, like, show up? Or are you training? Or
I don't know if I'm going to train, but I think I'm just going to do what I do. Yeah. I mean, I run to work. Like all the time, I run everywhere. Like I'm trying to run every day, like okay. Run, like sprint.
Whoa!
Because they say psychologically, it's extremely good for your health and your happiness. So I'm trying every day to get in a good sprint. At some point, I love it. It makes me so happy when I do it. So yeah. So but we shouldn't sprint through psychedelism. That we should do be chill. So real luck. I don't know why people don't do it. Myself included. I don't know why we forget about this. You're supposed to sing it. Secondly, Tov me'at tachanunim, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Chelek Daled, bekavana miharbot lo kavana. It's better to do a few supplications, a few words of Psukei Dezimra with kavana, than to say everything, a lot, but without kavana. So in other words, there is a basic minimum, Baruch Shemar, one tehillim usually Asher and Yishtabach. But beyond that, Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, better to say one good haluka with all your heart than to try to say everything and not really have kavana. Now, if you're going to not have kavana anyway, I guess you might as well say everything. Right? Which is probably why a lot of people say everything. But, and we should aim to say everything, obviously. Because each one is like, it's like we're building one on top of the other. Each one has a different thing to teach us. And they're connected to each other. But at the end of the day, the main thing is to say it slowly and meaningfully. So I thought that was a important halachic introduction. Okay. Now, the next kasha just is, what does Zimra mean? Psuke de Zimra. Verses of Zemer. So on a simple level, Zemer means song, singing. But really, it goes deeper than that. So, source 3, Vayikra Chav Hei Dalad. Oh. So what does it mean, karmacha lo tizmor?
Vineyards.
Vineyards don't sing? Don't sing in your vineyards? No. I mean, don't prune. On the Shemitah year, we don't prune. So the idea is that what does singing have to do with pruning? Zemer, which means to sing, is from the same root as the zamer, tizmor, to prune, to cut. So the explanation that I heard from this many different sources is that what do you do when you're pruning? You're cutting away the unnecessary parts of the branch so that the other parts of the branch can grow and blossom.
Mm.
So what are we supposed to be doing when we're singing? There's a million thoughts in our head that we could think about. But what are we doing? We're focusing on the thoughts, on the important thoughts that are going to bring us close to Hashem, to Dveikut, and not focusing on the other thoughts. the key to life is just learning to focus our thoughts, like a type of meditation. And that's the essence of Zemer. Cool, no? Like pruning away all those negative things, all that stuff on your mind. Just don't focus on it. Just sing. Just be in the moment. It's cool, no? Okay. Now, what is the aim? What is the goal of the Zemer? What are we trying to attach ourselves to? So the Mesilas Yesharim writes, right in the introduction, right after the introduction, right in the first chapter, God is only created in order to delight in Hashem. That's all of life, enjoying Hashem's presence. And to get pleasure out of the splendor of God's glory, presence. True enjoyment in life is only getting pleasure out of Hashem. But you know, gadol mikol yidunim sheyachlim natzah. The greatest pleasure, more than anything else, is really to bask in God's glory, in God's light. And then he goes on to say that the next world is the place where we're mainly going to feel this light through the mitzvahs that we've earned. But he does talk in other chapters, in other svarim, about how in this world too, we can get to the state of basking in God's light and God's glory. And that, I think, is really the goal of tefillah. And the goal of all of life, but in particular tefillah, is a state of dvikut, of connecting to God's light, of connecting to spirituality. And that's the goal of Psukkah D'Zimra, to disconnect ourselves from all of our thoughts and distractions, and just focus on this idea of connecting ourselves to God. Yeah? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Following my train of thought? Yeah, so but the main place is Olam Haba, because that's created to with the preparation which is needed for this. In other words, you need to prepare for this. You can't just get there in Olam Haba without preparation. That's what the mitzvot in this world are there to prepare ourselves, which is a whole different shir. But my point is basically, I believe that a lot of Psukkah D'Zimra's aim is to focus us on this state of attachment and dvekut Hashem. Yeah. Next page. I have three more sources, which are showing us the link between nevuah and tefillah and Psukkah D'Zimra. How song is actually meant to help us get to a state of prophecy. Maybe we can't get to, or me and you might not get to total prophecy. We're trying to get to the state of Ruach HaKodesh, of really feeling connected to God. And that's the goal of music. That's what music is there to do. So, what's my source for this? So, the Mishnah in Brachos, go for it.
Ein omdin leipalel ela mitoch koved rosh chasidim harishonim hayu shohin sha'achat mitpalelim kedei sheyich chavnu libam na'aviyem bashamayim afil amech
Awesome. Okay, I want to focus on the second of these three laws of the Chassidim Rishonim Shoin Sha'achad Mitalim. So what does that mean? The early righteous ones would wait for an hour and then daven. Now some interpreted, like Araya Kaplan, that their tefillah itself took an hour. And each word of Shemoneh Esrei, for example, took 7 seconds. They're totally meditating and totally in the moment. But others explain, and perhaps they're both true, that it was an hour before to prepare before they daven Shemoneh Esrei. Okay? So what are they trying to do there? What are they doing during this time when they prepared for their Shemoneh Esrei? What are they up to? What's the goal of that preparation?
So that they could attach themselves.
Sure. What's up? Come.
They can direct their hearts to God.
Yeah, exactly. Because
spurts from the vacus.
Exactly. Because it doesn't happen naturally. You can't just walk in and expect to be like, oh, physical world, eating, drinking, work, tensions, jealousy, oh God. It doesn't work like that. You need to tune yourself out and walk back into the room. And that takes time. So the Chassidim Rishonim would take an hour to prepare themselves to do that. And says Tosfos, I didn't bring it, but Tosfos says that what's our modern application of that concept of preparing for tefillah? Can you guess? Psukkitism? That's what psukkitism really is. It's our version of the hours of preparation. It doesn't necessarily take an hour. Depends if you go to Kalbach Minyan or not. Depends, you know, which Minyan you're at. But it's meant to... We're manifesting that idea of preparing ourselves for tefillah.
Okay, so the Hasidim Rashidim didn't do psukkitism.
Maybe they did too. Maybe their preparation was the
psukkitism. Okay, maybe their preparation involved psukkitism.
Who knows?
Honestly, yeah.
Hard to know.
Makes sense.
Hard to know. But this is an awesome source. Okay. Rabbi Elijah, the Rebbe. Awesome to have you here. When do you have to head out?
10 to 9.
Okay. So just I'll pace myself. Awesome. So I'll give you a 3-minute review of what you missed. Maybe 2 minutes. One, the Shulchan Aruch says that you should not daven fast, only daven slow. Gotta daven Pesukah Dezimra slow. So we're talking about Pesukah Dezimra. Two, better to say a few Tehillim with Kavanah than everything without Kavanah. Shulchan Aruch, explicit. Not crazy Chassidic Sfarim. Okay, that's what you're supposed to do. Three, we talked about what does Zemer mean? Lizmor, to prune. Which means we're pruning away our negative thoughts, we're pruning away the bad branches so that the good branches can grow. We have so many irrelevant thoughts. So we're pruning it away. Pruning towards what? Towards Dveikut, which is the whole purpose of life, according to Mesilas Yesharim. So really davening, from a Hasidic perspective, that's the whole point of life is really preparation for tefillah. Everything you do is leading up towards that tefillah experience. And finally, we talked about this Gemara in Brachos, which might be a Talmudic source of preparing for davening. Okay? We also talked about Rav Shlomo and his Sefer talked about how when you're singing, when people sing together, everyone can join in because it's like a taste of the next world. Whereas when you're speaking, it's still in this world, but singing is mamish beyond this world. I just think like from an evolutionary perspective, like, there's no reason why we should all enjoy singing. It's, for me, at least, it just seems like such a neshama dika. It expresses our soul in such a way. And nothing else really compares. I heard a great story on Shabbos this afternoon. It was by a chassid of Rav Shlomo. A story I never heard before. And Rav Shlomo apparently went to the forest one Shabbos. And he started singing a niggun. It was just him alone. And the birds started singing with him. And then he tried a different niggun and they stopped singing. And then he went back to the niggun and they kept singing. And that niggun was... He didn't know. Nobody knows. It was a good one.
Have one, it's called like
Name of the Bird. Yeah, it's a different story. But yeah. Anyways, okay, Gvaldige. So, two more introductory sources, and then we're going to start. I'm so excited. Okay, this is a Sefer Haredim. When I read this, I was like so happy. Still so happy about it. Super awesome. Sefer Haredim, Rabbi Eliezer Azkiri, lived in Tzvat, Kabbalist. He wrote, you guys. Probably sing it every Shabbos. What song did he write that we all know?
No.
Close. Shulman Alkabit. They were buddies. What? Yedi Nefesh. Yedi Nefesh is his, which is all about love of God, and overpowering love of Hashem. And Bezrat Hashem, one day we'll learn it together. And he also wrote this book called Sefer Haredim. But it's not like modern day Haredim. It's like Hared, like burning with passion to do the And it talks about how using every different body part to serve God. It's really cool. So in it, he has a cool chiddush. So Rebbe Rav Reigel teach us what's the chiddush.
He says that singing to Hashem is the fulfillment of the biblical mitzvah. You shall love Hashem, your God, with all your heart. Because it's the way of the lover to sing. A person who loves him, full-heartedly will sing for the Blessed One, just like Moshe, the Israelites, Miriam, Yeshua, by means of the Holy Spirit.
So what's the cool thing here? I'm humming a ditty. I'm singing a little bit like we're going to do. It's at the Shem at 8:45 or so. And what am I doing right then? Is it just cute chassidic thing? A nice shtick? No, it's a biblical mitzvah. It's a mitzvah daraita that we say every day. Because how can you love someone without singing? And singing brings you to love Hashem.
It comes from your heart.
Isn't that cool? You guys know that? I didn't know that. That singing is a biblical mitzvah. And it was awesome. But I didn't know it was a mitzvah that I did. It's according to this rabbi.
I bet you could find a more literal mitzvah there. You'd probably find something without having to
to go that far. I was Emma. Yeah, think about it. All right, one last source, and as a result, we'll sprinkle in a little more tidbits every time we learn Pesukei Zimra about singing and keep being machazik ourselves about the importance of singing Pesukei Zimra. But just one last idea is in Sefer Melachim, we see explicitly that singing was used as a way to get prophecy. We also see this by Shaul and David HaMelech, but also by Elisha the Navi. It says, "Vatak chuli menagin." The story goes that Elisha wanted a musical man so that the word of God will come upon him. So it's clear that from a biblical perspective, song was used as a way to get to prophecy. And today too, but through singing and Pesukei Zimra, we can get more spiritual, and as much as we prepare ourselves, we'll have more Ruach HaKodesh and more connection to Hashem. It's really just up to us how much we want to connect. I'll tell you one crazy story. It happened this Shabbos. So, after I was having down at my note, really happy, and I had two guys who were coming to my meal, for the Shabbos, my Friday night meal, and they're both musicians. You probably know them, Yonatan Atias, great guys.
Yeah,
Nuria, and we were talking about how Shabbos Shira, we really wanted to come down with like a new niggun, and we were like. It was raining right after the show. We were singing. And we were all just like jamming with each other. It was awesome. And the truth is, I don't think we came down with a new niggun because we forgot about it. But this cool thing did happen. I felt so open, like after davening my heart out and singing. And the thing that was on my mind, I asked, do you think we could, like I was just losing my heart about how on one end I like davening to Hashem for everything that I need. I know Shabbos, you're really not supposed to daven for your needs. Shabbos is supposed to just be thankful. But on the other hand, I feel like if Hashem's like my best friend and I'm talking to him, how could I leave out the things that are really on my mind? Yeah? So that was my question. We just left it as like a tarichian, I don't know. And then yesterday, I opened up like a random sefer, and the whole point of the story was about how you should ask for your needs on Shabbos. That's crazy. And like, that's not like a normal, that doesn't come up every other page, you know? That was exactly so. I felt like that connection that I have, it wasn't lost, and Hashem was like, you know, still flowing through me a little bit. It was cool. Do you want an apple? You've roasted apples.
Roasted.
Like baked.
That's cool.
Pass. If you say a good bracha.
Okay.
Fine. Raise the Holy Spark. All right. So with that little introduction, without further ado, we are gonna get into Hodu. Amen. Okay. So we can open up our sefer. The Hodu.
Hodu.
And we probably won't get too deep into it this week. This week we'll view a little bit more of the introduction again to what Hodu is. But right away, we'll notice there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Nisach Sfard in terms of Hodu. Yeah? So, I'm Nisach Sfard. My parents, my grandparents are Hasidim. You guys are Ashkenazim or Sfard?
Ashkenaz. Depends on the day.
Yeah. I feel that. I used to be Ashkenaz. I converted. But, so Sfard says Hodu first, and Ashkenaz says Hodu after Baruch Shema. So what's the Psha? How did that work? What's that all about?
Yeah.
Yeah? You ever hear anything?
I know Rav Soloveitchik Vision has something on that, but...
Oh! Rav Soloveitchik Vision has something on that. Oh. Okay. Okay, so...
There's definitely a good reason.
There is a good reason. So, Rav Soloveitchik says, you're really not supposed to say any praise of Hashem before Baruch Shemar. Baruch Shemar is the matir, which allows us to praise Hashem. There's, you know, a pitka which fell from the heavens. Only once we've said Baruch Shemar can we say Hodu or anything else. What that means, Marshir? I don't think Rav Soloveitchik would say it means Marshir for that very reason. And that's his explanation as to why we do Hodu afterwards. However, what about Sfaradim? Or Nisach Sfarad? So what it comes down to is you have to understand the history of Hodu. Because Hodu used to be said I think I have this in the source sheet, but it used to be said when the korbanot were being brought, the Levim sang hodu. And they sang the hodu part of the first part of hodu while the korban hashachar was being sang, at least originally during the Mishkan, not necessarily during the Beit HaMikdash, but there was a Mishkan. So therefore, hodu is really connected to korbanos. It's actually not part of Pesukah Zimra, it's more, it's half-half, but it's also connected to korbanos, and that's why you do hodu in the korbanot section. Yeah?
When the Levim
sang in times of the Mishkan, while they were bringing the korbanos, during the korban shachar, they used to sing hodu.
Okay.
And that's why Nisach Sfar does it first. Cool. Yeah? Good to know. Alright, yeah. So, what else, now that we're into the history of hodu, where does this whole song come from, and why are we starting off Sujudism with this?
May I ask first, why was it, you said Rav Soloveitchik was said?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't we praise before Baruch Shemar?
So we'll talk more about this when we learn Baruch Shemar Be'ezrat Hashem, but basically, we don't really have a right to praise God just stam. The Gemara talks about, like, if a guy just goes on and praising Hashem, you know, we shut him up.
Yeah, I mean, down he has the praises that Moshe did, right?
Exactly, and all of our praises are based on what Chazal told us that we can, what the Nevi'im before us have said, and Chazal were matakin for us, but we don't have the right to mechadash it on our own. So therefore, God had to send us down a specific nusach for Baruch Shamar to give us the heter to praise God, because we need to praise God, but we can't just do it on our own. So start saying hodu before Baruch Shamar would like go against that idea. So I don't even know how Rav Soloveitchik would feel about Rabbi Nachman, you know, praising Hashem and like, he might feel like you need the formalized structured prayer and only from there to go into the personalized, but maybe not. Maybe, I don't know, maybe only if it's part of the structure of prayer is it a problem to add. But if it's a spontaneous personal thing, then you say whatever you want.
But the tefillah is communal, like you're supposed to be standardized and structured.
Right.
For a general tefillah, but afterwards when you're just talking, you know.
Right.
You know, Santa Abba, it's different.
Right, I'm assuming that everyone would be okay with you just talking Tati.
Yeah.
Anyways, good, okay.